This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Woo-hoo. Woohoo! We made it! Woohoo! Woo.
Yeah, 100 shows. We even got a nice card.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheprick with a pass left corner, hat open, three for the tie. Good! Riley hit that.
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
It's over! The Bullpups have knocked off Bishop the Age! 62 McPherson, 58 the Age in overtime!
Everything happening in the sports world. And even some things not happening in the sports world.
We've got a little lemon cheesecake.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing, another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man who's a little cold this afternoon.
It's cold in here.
He's coming to the radio station with a jacket on.
90 degrees outside, and I have a jacket on inside.
Mr. Steve Sell, did you have an enjoyable Memorial Day weekend?
Yeah, I think it came at a very good time. It's the kickoff to the summer. I know in a couple weeks I'll be heading on a little bit of a vacation. I know you've got some vacation, but Memorial Day is a time to really reflect on, you know, everything.
Did you do a lot of reflecting, or did you just play a lot of golf?
I played a lot of golf, but I did.
But also reflected, like, yeah, on the 13th hole, you went,
well,
wow.
Yeah, but, you know, Memorial Day, you know, you think about all the sacrifices made, and you know, that always, that's something everyone should, you know, kind of keep in their minds what Memorial Day is actually about. It's not a day off. It's, you know, for those that sacrifice for us.
Memorial Day is one of those really funny holidays that a lot of people will post things about Veterans Day when that's not what it is.
No.
It's really funny to me.
No.
I can't remember who it was, but it was a professional sports team that tweeted out, and they're like, "Happy Veterans Day to everybody out there. We're thinking about you." And then they were like, hashtag Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been KU.
Well, I wouldn't support
it. Might have been some sort of KU account. I don't know, but it's always interesting to see.
I always
people
like
swap those.
I do like to see the Avenue of Flags, though. That's
or
really neat.
Or they'll be like, Memorial Day. Remember when we signed the Constitution? What a day! Where they confuse it with the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
they confuse the 4th of July with Memorial Day.
But
there's always people that screw it up.
Yeah, there was an awful lot that happened though since we were last on the air. I mean, it has been a busy 3 days.
Yeah, it was a weekend of reflecting, I guess, for you.
Yeah.
At the golf course and thinking about Memorial Day, while I've been reflecting on what was a terrific spring sports season at McPherson High as well as for the area. We want to talk about that today. We get to reflect on LeBron James as well as the Splash Brothers and Kevin Durant of Golden State, who will be meeting in the NBA Finals for the 4th consecutive year.
And I saw that the opening line is the biggest as far as in terms of lopsidedness. The Warriors are so much of a heavy favorite that they'll be lucky there's going to be any betting on the series. I mean, it is so Golden State. I think right now all it is, are you betting on 4, 5, 6, or 7 games? And if I was a betting man, I'd say 5 at the most, maybe 4. But, you know, who really wants to see this? This is 4 years in a row.
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, Golden State's going to dominate. LeBron,
we'll see.
Everyone's going to say, oh, LeBron, he doesn't have the cast around him. He doesn't. It's just going to be a sign. How close can he keep this series? And he'll keep it close as far as the game scores. But let's face it, he just doesn't have anything around him.
So we'll talk about that here in a little bit and recap two of the more exciting games of the NBA postseason that happened last night and as well as Sunday night. Steve, let's reflect on a busy sports weekend for us where we were driving back and forth from Wichita to North Newton to McPherson to North Newton to Wichita to McPherson to North Newton.
Oh, yeah.
Driving all over the place. As we start with state track and field, a really good day for some area kids, but for the Bullpups, especially on the girls' side, two individual state champions that won two different events.
Right.
With Ellie Barrett winning the long and the triple jump, Emma Ruddle on Saturday morning winning the 100 hurdles and the 100-meter dash. That was kind of what we expected from the very beginning of this season, but it was really fun to watch them dominate everybody.
I had very little doubt Ellie Barrett would double, and I had very little doubt Emma Ruddle. I knew she'd win the 100 hurdles. It was the 100 where I didn't know if she could win, but man, I'll tell you, her times just kept going down, down, down as the year went on. So Emma Ruddle, a double state champion, and has two more years. Now, Ellie Barrett ended up a five-time state champion. Now, next year, it might be a little tougher. Bullpups are going to be Class 5A, and there's a lot of good sprinters out of Wichita.
Out of Newton.
Out of Newton. Well, Newton's going to lose quite a few of theirs. But there's a lot out of Topeka, it seems like.
Topeka.
There's a lot of good girl sprinters out of Topeka. So, you know, not to say that she can't do it. She ran the fastest hurdle time. I have no doubt she can win 5A in hurdles. The 100 might be a different story, but what a great year. And Shane Bakus did send me all the kids that have qualified for the Wall of Fame. I don't have the list with me right now, but I do have it in my office. And I've never seen such a long list of kids that, you know, in baseball and in some of the sports, you have to be a, you know, there's not an all-state, all-class, which is what the criteria is in basketball and football. But what the criteria is for those some of those other sports is you have to be a two-time all-state performer. And I know Aislinn Hughes did that. And, of course, Ruddle goes on automatically for winning state. Ellie Barrett had already qualified for the wall, so she goes on. Dylan Wearies today gets to go on the wall because he became a two-time champion in a two-time All-State selection
right.
in baseball. And then there's several others that had already qualified earlier, but now that they're seniors, they'll be able to go on in December. So it's going to be quite a ceremony when we do the Wall of Fame. We're going to have two banners going up. And we had some kids come really close. Tyson Stites got beat right at the tape. Well, I shouldn't say the tape anymore. There's no tape. But he got beat in a photo finish.
The wire.
Yeah, the wire. 14.80 to 14.87. Might have just been the chinny chin chin that got him, that Clay Eckert of Bueller won the championship. So a memorable year. We're going to be talking about the year of the Bullpup. I'm going to be writing a column this week about it. But anyway, what a year for Bullpup athletics. And now we're starting to see some of the all-state, all-league teams, and Bullpups are doing quite well in that.
Well, what we haven't talked about yet, state soccer with a third-place finish, and we got to talk about it on Friday,
yeah,
previewing the Bishop Miege game and knowing that the Bullpups taking on a very good Miege team. I don't know if we exactly knew at the time that those could have been the two best teams. McPherson loses 2-1, and it was a fairly close game. Coach Adrian made a nice comment that I thought encapsulates it, and I think Coach Kinneman would say the same thing. I think Coach Stratham would say the same thing. When you play a Bishop Miege, a team that is very good in everything, you have to make sure that you take advantage of your breaks and don't let them take advantage of the breaks that they're given. And there were a couple of calls that did not go the Bullpup's way. They weren't just blatantly bad calls, but there were a few calls that were missed. And Bishop Miege took advantage every single time, while the Bullpups couldn't. And so they lost 2-1. They scored a goal in the 80th minute. And I think there would be a lot of teams after losing a tough game like that that go, well, good year. Let's just sort of hang out and relax and think about the summer and not really worry about that third place game too much. But, man, did they come out and rip it up on Saturday morning.
And, yeah, and the Bull – Coach Adrian, I wrote my story saying that, Coach Adrian and I were talking before the game, like we always do, and the first thing he said, he says, there's no way we're going to lose this game. He says, I look at the – in the eyes of my players, I look at their faces, they are not going to lose this game. And they came out, and I mean, it was like – it was like another game that we'd had during the season. It was total domination. I don't think Hayden – I think they had one good chance, you know.
If that.
I mean, that's being pretty generous. One good shot. Riley Hett was right there. But the Bullpups, it was 5-0. It could have been 8-0. I mean, it really could have. Coach Adrian started pulling his starters 20 minutes to go. I mean, he wanted his seniors kind of get a nice ovation. Had a great crowd. We had a great crowd down there for both games.
Yeah.
You know, normally a third-place game, people just say, third-place game. But Bullpup Nation turned out. In fact, I think the Bullpups had more people there for the third-place game than maybe Miege or Lewisburg had for the championship.
Well, they had a hall.
And granted, we didn't have a far way to go. But I just said, I thought it meant a lot that a lot of fans went down for the third place game because they wanted to see this team one more time. It was a fun team to watch. I mean, I haven't gotten that excited down through the years. You know, when I cover soccer, I mean, I cover it and everything. But this year, I couldn't wait to see what this team was going to do next because they did so many good things and it was so skilled. I mean, Aislinn Hughes, Jesse Kinnison, Kenzie Godwin, Hannah Hageman,
Claire Hedlund.
I mean, they were all just so skilled. And then, you know, you had the defenders like the Hines sisters, Maisie Edmondson, Michaela Bowers with her flip throws, Riley Hett back there, J.C. Burghardt in the middle patrolling things. And the thing is, I did a column today. We got a lot of people back next year.
Yeah.
And we're going to be good. We're going to be pretty good next year. Not as good as this year, but we're going to be pretty good.
A school record for... A record on the season, 18-2-1, school record for wins. Most goals scored in a season at 136. Fewest goals allowed in a season at 9. 14 shutouts. It was a record-breaking season. And Steve, I'm sure that there have been some years in Bullpup sports history where they have won more state championships than just two in one year. Especially considering there have been a decent amount of years where they win two in just basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have to think that this year, all around with the depth of every single team, with the exception of like two or three teams
right.
throughout the entire school year that were dominant, I would think this year would be hard to beat in terms of the overall talent
11
of every team.
11 league championships. There's not that many sports.
Well, there's 18.
There's 18 sports. And 11 league championships. And the teams that didn't win were right there. And like...
Think about baseball. They didn't win a league championship, but they were a number one seed at regionals.
They were number one in the state for a few weeks.
Right.
You look at the golf team. You know, they struggled throughout the year. But hey, they get the state. You know, they get... Well, I should say two guys get the state. And you know, it's things like that. It was just a great, great sports year.
And you and I had a pretty good year as well.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of road trips. A lot of fun road trips.
How many games did we end up doing?
Steve and I broadcasted 93 games. And, you know, basketball gets a little confusing because we only broadcasted 24 or so days.
Right.
But 48 games.
Right.
Steve and I had a record of 84-8-1 in games that we called for.
I take that every year.
And I think four of the losses were to Bishop Miege.
Yeah.
Three in basketball, one in soccer.
Coach Adrian says, four times I've been denied a state championship between my boys and girls soccer team, and four times it was Bishop Miege that got in the way.
It was a pretty fun year, and you and I got to talk about this at the end of the game the other night, how much fun that we had, how much we appreciate the quality coaches and fans and players and just overall community that we get to be a part of. And it's really fun for us, especially when you get new people coming into the station and saying, "Oh, what do you think about that soccer game tonight? You think we could beat Bishop Miege?"
Yeah.
We expect it in basketball that we have all sorts of people that are popping their head in here going, "Hey, what do you think? Miege, they won last night against St. Thomas Aquinas. That must mean they're going to be pretty good. We're going to get them in 3 weeks." You know, like our old buddy Mark Heidebreck, he comes in here a lot and just wants to know about what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
During the football season, we had a ton of people popping their head in here and going, "Hey, you think we can get beat Annandale? You think we can beat Bueller again?
Yeah.
Think we can go get Miege?" It's been pretty fun to be a part of such a successful year. And at some point, we won't have quite as successful of a year. And at some point, I think everybody's been saying probably for 40 years, oh, that talent's going to dry out at some point. Those basketball teams are going to start losing. They haven't yet.
When we were at state track, that was the first question I was asked one of my old buddies, sports writing buddies. It was in this, he worked down at Hutch in Salina. He's been gone about 20 years. He says, is the basketball team ever going to run out of talent? I said, well, every year I think maybe this might be the year, but it never is. I mean, the boys haven't had a losing season since 82-83 season. The girls have gone over 25 years without a losing season. So, you know, we've just been very fortunate.
Really fun year as we wrap up the spring sports season and we transition into the summer. As the summer continues to move along, Steve and I will, especially once we get a little closer to August, the end of July, we'll start to preview what's coming up. We'll spend a lot of time recapping what has happened throughout this past year. We've got a couple of fun guests coming into the studio this week. Taylor Robertson coming in on Wednesday.
Taylor.
Miss Basketball, the Miss. Former Gatorade Player of the Year.
Yep.
Future OU Sooner. Ben Pyle coming in on Thursday. Mr. Basketball. How many radio shows in the country, Steve, do you think get to have Miss Basketball in their state and Mr. Basketball
I'd
in
say
their state
the,
on back-to-back days?
I'd say we're the only one.
It helps that they're both from the same town.
That's right.
It does help a lot.
Yeah.
You think in Indiana they're getting Mr. and Miss Basketball on back-to-back days?
I wouldn't think so.
You think in Alaska they're getting Mr. and Miss Basketball on back-to-back days?
I might get Mr. and Miss Igloo. I don't know.
Miss Penguin.
Yeah.
You think in Texas we're getting that?
I wouldn't
nope.
think so. Nope.
I think we might be the only ones,
yep.
which means we're pretty lucky here. But it'll be a fun week coming up and getting to talk to them. And, of course, we'll be able to have it up on our podcast page, soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. Steve, let's take our first break. When we come back, diving into your favorite time of year and when you normally turn on the NBA games, as the finals begin this week, the two teams are ready for their fourth consecutive meeting, Cavs Warriors Part 4. We're back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening at midkansasonline.com, he's Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Steve, last week, after both of the Eastern and Western Conference Finals in the NBA went to 3-2 with Boston leading Cleveland 3-2, Houston leading Golden State 3-2. I said, you know how this is going to end up, right?
Oh, yeah, same as last year.
The Cavs are going to win at home in Game 6. They're going to beat Boston on the road in Game 7. Golden State's going to win at home in Game 6. They're going to win at Houston in Game 7. And this might not have been the direct path that we would think we would get to this result, but I think everybody knew that the two best teams were Cleveland and Golden State, which it's hard to say that Cleveland was the best team because it is a ragtag group of dudes. But when you have the best player in the world on your team, it helps.
Well, Coach Kinnaman always says, when you have the best player, you got the best chance to win.
Well, that's what he said to you on Friday afternoon when you right. said, oh, I think this is Boston's year.
And I said it'd be a home court series. I didn't know Terry Rozier was going to go 0-for-39 from three-point or whatever it was.
And get stuffed by LeBron.
Yeah. And I just
and stared down for
I didn't
20
know,
seconds.
I didn't know Jeff Green was actually going to, you know, make an appearance for Cleveland. I think he scored like 19 or 20 points.
19. So I saw this really interesting quote that LeBron James had 4 or 5 years ago. It was when he was in Miami, and they were talking about him in the postseason. And I think somebody asked the question, how many minutes do you think you could go in a postseason game? And he said, you know, if it's a regular season game, I think I could go 48 if I needed to. But in the postseason, you can't go 48 minutes because it's just so emotional and it's so draining that you can't play the entire game. You want to know what LeBron did like 5 years later in almost every game of the postseason?
48.
And in game seven at Boston. Game
seven, he did go 48, didn't he?
48 minutes.
Wow. You know, Wilt went a whole season playing 48 every game. He did.
But he played against guys that were your size.
Well, that's true.
That shot in the peach basket.
Well, that's true.
35 points, 15 assists, 9 rebounds in an ugly game with Boston. It just wasn't very good shooting.
No.
It was a weird
aesthetically,
night.
Aesthetically.
Kyle Korver, I think, only made 1 3. J.R. Smith made 3 or 4. Boston had its chances at home in one of the best home court advantages in the NBA and in all of sports. LeBron wasn't going to let him lose. He wasn't going to let him lose.
Marcus Smart couldn't throw it in the ocean.
Rozier. Marcus Morris just kept screaming at LeBron the whole game.
Well, we know the IQ of the Morris twins, both of them.
You see Markeith in the KU jersey on the sideline?
Oh, yeah. Show pony.
It was a night that I think Boston fans are going to be very upset about for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
They have a bright future coming, but that was their chance. And now LeBron James is going to his 8th consecutive finals. I heard a funny stat. During this 8-year run of LeBron going to the finals every year, KU football has not won a road game. I don't know if that's saying how good LeBron is, or if it's saying how bad KU is.
I mean, geez.
So it's been a pretty unbelievable run, and we'll be able to talk more about the finals itself coming up a little bit later on this week. Last night, the Warriors in Houston. Houston had that game exactly how they wanted, a game 7 on their home court. The beard is going off. They're throwing up lobs to Capella.
Yeah, they're up 15.
They're looking good in the first half.
They were like 15 at one time.
But then the Warriors, the third quarter team.
Oh, my.
They figured it out.
33-15.
And it was all Golden State from about halfway in the third quarter on. Kevin Durant with 34. Steph Curry, 27. Klay Thompson, 19. Draymond Green, 10.
And you know,
you can't beat that.
When the Warriors won their first one, I liked them. I really did. They didn't have Durant, but I liked them because, you know, they hadn't won anything for so long, like since 1979. But, boy, has it gone to their head. Now they're the team that they're kind of like the Yankees when the Yankees were so good. You either loved them or you just couldn't stand them. And I've gone from really liking the Warriors to really not standing them at all. They're arrogant. I don't think they respect their opponents.
Why would they?
Well, I think you should respect everybody should be respected.
You think they should respect KU football? You think they should respect the Phoenix Suns?
Well,
you think they should respect the Denver Nuggets?
Well, but I'm just saying,
they have 4 Hall of Famers in their primes rolling right now, and they took a Houston team that has been talking trash to them all year.
And they
won 65 regular season games.
Yeah, but they didn't have Chris Paul.
We've got the beard. He's the MVP.
Chris Paul's our best player. And
we're playing at home. We're going to get you this year.
Chris Paul didn't play. He's our best player.
And Golden State, they weren't messing around.
No, once I kept telling you they were bored. And they, you know, they brought it down to a game 7. They kind of wanted to tease people. And then when they decided to put on the gas, I mean, look at the game before. I think they outscored the Rockets. They were down, 15 or 17 at the half, and they outscored them by 40 in the second half. It's crazy.
Golden State is on a pretty unbelievable run right now where, let's face it, they're probably going to win the NBA title this year, win 3 of the last 4, and this will go down as one of the greatest teams in basketball history. They've changed the game a lot. They have
small ball.
They have Kevin Durant. They have Steph Curry. They have Klay Thompson. Draymond Green, who really nobody thought would be anything, has come into this system and fits perfectly.
Yeah.
They've taken Andre Iguodala, and he's been a finals MVP. They have Steve Kerr, who went from GM to analyst to Hall of Fame coach.
And Steve Kerr came out today and said, if we'd had Iguodala, we would have ended this thing in 5. See, there's another sign of arrogance and disrespect in my book.
Well, I think he would have been correct.
Well,
even with Sir CP3, who just can't find a way to be healthy for any important games.
Nope.
So, the Cavs and the Warriors in the finals. We all had a feeling it would get there. Is there any chance you think LeBron and the Cavs could win this series?
Nope.
Any chance?
None. Nada. Zip. Zilch.
See, I was one of the few that was saying 2 years ago they were going to win.
Well, if Draymond Green doesn't get kicked out and have
but
to
he did.
Out, he did, but if he doesn't, we'd be looking at four in a row for the Warriors.
Which would make this run even
yeah.
more incredible.
How about the Bulls against the Bulls from the early 90s with Jordan against the Warriors?
I don't know if they'd score enough.
The Bulls?
Yeah.
You think Michael would let them lose?
I mean, he didn't lose in the finals.
Right.
But they didn't have to shoot as many threes as Golden State can.
You think Rodman would have let Draymond get away? Can you imagine
Rodman? Those two guys would just be kicking each other in the junk all week.
Could you imagine Rodman guarding Draymond? Oh, my gosh. Neither one of them would last a game. They'd both be thrown out every game, probably.
Do you want to have the debate who's better, the best basketball player of all time? LeBron, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant? That is like the most boring thing in the world
to
me.
Oh, it is. It is.
And that's what's going to happen all week.
Oh, I know.
All month, all year.
I could care less.
For the next 40 years.
It was kind of like Joe DiMaggio and Ted Williams. That was the big debate. Who was always the better player?
In what, the roaring 20s?
40s. When I was well,
right during the Great War.
When I was a kid, it was Mays and Mantle. Who was the better player? Willie Mays or Mickey Mantle?
Mine was Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa.
I feel bad because Willie Mays, when I was a kid, everybody idolized Willie Mays. You ask anybody who Willie Mays is now, it's like, huh? Who's that?
Well, I doubt that. They might not be able to point him out.
Yeah.
But I think that they'll know, hey, the Willie Mays catch, that old grainy film from the Polo Grounds.
Yeah, over the over-the-shoulder catch. Vic Wertz.
I think Jacoby Ellsbury could make that catch pretty easily.
I don't regard him
as a great center fielder.
If he could ever get on the field.
That's true.
He's hurt every game.
All right, Steve, let's take our final break and wrap this up, preview what's coming up this week and everything else coming up on According to Jim. You're listening on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. Steve, for people that don't get to listen to the show live and they're sitting around going, man, I really wish I could listen. Those guys are so talented and so good looking and so funny.
Yeah, they can tell.
How do I go back and listen?
They can tell how good looking we are on the
Oh, we are. But they go to online to soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. Yeah, every now and then people will come in here and they'll say, well, who are you? And I'll say, well, I am Jim. And they go, oh, yeah, you're that guy. Yeah, I hear you sometimes.
Well, I have people come in and say, I thought you were taller.
My response to them is always, yeah, I'm much better looking than you thought, huh?
Yeah, but people come in and say to me, I really thought you were taller. Of course, that's the response everyone says to me anyway when I'm on the air or off the air.
Yeah, Darren Wearies. He threw a shot at you the other night at the soccer game. He said, yeah, he's going to have to stand up back there to see over the rail, which I think he wasn't lying.
Yeah, probably.
Well, Steve just took his shoes off at the soccer game on Friday night.
I did.
He's like, oh, my toe hurts. So
I had a bad toe.
He just popped those shoes off. It was stinking up there. Luckily, we were outside. Humidity and the shoe stench was just kind of lingering.
Oh, yeah.
But fun week coming up. We mentioned it earlier. Taylor Roberts and Ben Pyle coming on the show this week. We'll have Coach Kinnaman come on sometime next week.
And Coach Pav has sent me all the summer stuff.
Ooh.
So you know, when they have team camp and when we have 7-on-7s. And so we'll have to get Coach Pav on.
Coach Strathman has been in Washington, D.C. this past week.
D.C. or state?
D.C.
Okay.
Yeah, he hasn't made his way to the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
They are
the
checking
outer
rim. Out
yeah.
the Washington Monument. Is that the big tall one?
Yeah, that's why it's a monument.
What's the one across the little pond from it? The Lincoln Memorial?
Yeah, Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah, see, we're on top of it.
Yeah.
You and I, big tourists. So that's coming up this week. The Royals after splitting their series with the Rangers this weekend. Last night, lost to the Twins 8-5.
Nice job,
Duff Man against Kyle Gibson coming up tonight.
Kyle Gibson, soft tosser. Royals don't like soft tosser.
I think he's a former Mizzou Tiger.
But Danny Duffy pitched a great game in his last game. And, you know, really, it's all about they're scoring runs. They scored 5 last night. You know, they scored quite a bit down in
Blaine
Texas.
Blaine Boyer
still have a job?
He's real bad.
He's got an ERA like at 17 or 11 or something like that. And then Birch. All this time I thought it was Burt Smith when they were saying it. And then they put the graphic up and said Birch.
It's not a great first name.
No. And he finally got a haircut, though. That's the only good thing about him. He's got a haircut now. He was disgracing the game, I thought.
So there's our Royals talk for the week. They're real good. So tomorrow, Taylor Robertson coming on the show. We're excited to have her on, Ben Pyle, on Thursday. So make sure you tune in tomorrow or find us on podcast, soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. Steve, we wrap things up. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 1230 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.